Today's shir is for Tzchus, for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masech Tiksubis, Daf Lamed Tes. We will begin on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Amar Abaye, Bala, if somebody violated a Nara, Umesa, and she dies before they could have had a Din Torah, and that the violator should have to pay the Knas. Potter, then he doesn't have to pay the knas. Because, as the pasuk says, Shenemar v'nosana isha shaychiv imoy l'avi anara chamishim kesef. And we learn from the avi anara that the only time this has to be paid is when the nara is still alive, v'loy avi amesa, not when she's no longer alive. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, milz the pshita le'labaya, this that word, this halacha, which we just said, which was obvious to Abaye, that Abaye's opinion is that if the girl who was violated is no longer alive, the halacha is you don't have to pay the knas. Mibay Leila Rava was actually a question that was that Rava had. The Bai Rava, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shema Daf Mem Aleph Amibayz that if the Nara did not have the opportunity to go to have this Din Torah until she became a Begeris. And the Mishnah teaches us that the Knas at that point is paid to the Nara, to the girl herself, and not to her father. We will let Mitzvah Shem, however, learn that if the Din Torah and the obligation to pay the Knas came while she was still a Nara, but by the time she became the actual payment, she was ready begaris, then the father would collect. But if the actual Din Torah only took place at the time of, if the actual Din Torah took place only after she's begaris, then the halacha is that the knas is paid to the girl. Now the Gemara asked the question, Yesh baga bekever, ain baga bekever. Do we look at a woman who is not alive as she became a begaris? Do we look at a Nara that died as if she's already a begaris after she was no longer alive? And therefore, if that's the case, she's entitled to the knas. And if she's no longer alive, her son is the halacha, is her yorish, and her son gets the knas, the bna hava, as a son always is the yorish of his mother. And therefore, she never became a begaris. The clock, so to speak, stopped. And since the clock stopped, so she was a Nara, and that's where she remains. And we just said that if she was a Nara at the time of the obligation of the knas, the father gets it. So, as I saw Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Sefer Beis HaOitzer explains how we to understand this Gemara's question. The Gemara is saying that it's obvious, says Rabbi Yosef Engel Zatzal, that once a person passes away, there's no Naris anymore, there's no Bagris anymore. All of that, unfortunately, stops the moment a person passes away. He says what the Gemara question is, what we just said, based on the Mishnah Mitzvah Shem that we're going to learn on Daf Mem Aleph, that once a girl becomes a Begeris, she's no longer considered in the reshus of a father. And the question is, what does that mean when she's no longer in the reshus of a father? And the way I understand the Rabbi Yosef Engel to explaining the Gemara's question is like this. Does, once a girl passes away, she can't be called a Nara anymore? Or is pshat that she can't become a begaris? If she can't become a Nara anymore because she's not alive, but she doesn't become a begaris, so then her father's not entitled to her knas. Because only a girl who's a Nara is a father entitled to knas. Once the girl passes away, all of these labels, Naris, Pagris, are not relevant to her. And therefore, the father wouldn't get the knas. Or do we say that the moment of death is the moment which we look at? And at the moment of death, she was a Nara. even though afterwards she, even though if had she been alive, she would have become a begeris, but death stops everything and she becomes, and she's considered still, and she's not considered anything. And she's considered a nara, and the father will get the knas. Taisus asks the question that we're going to Mitzvashem learn on Daf Membeis Amabeis, that ain't other marish knas labonov. That a person, if a person was owed a knas, that can't be inherited by his children. So Taisus asks the question, if that's the case, Agamar wants to know if she's yesh beggar bekever or ain't beggar bekever. And the Gemara said the nafkamina would her son be entitled to the knas? But as Taisus, you don't inherit knas. So if you don't inherit knas, what is the Gemara's question? That's the question that Taisus asks, and many answers are given to this question. Taisus answers that the Gemara actually could have asked this question. The Gemara could have asked that the nafkamina is, does he get knas or not? Because if it's the sons, there's no Yerusha by knas. But Taisus says the Gemara went with a different direction. The re-answers that the actual knas payment, there's no question. The son doesn't get, because there's no Yerusha on knas. But as we've been discussing in our shiurim, when a woman is violated, there are other punishments as well. There's the boishes, the begam. That is a knas, and that is inherited. And now the question is, who will get it? The re-halovin gives a different teretz. The Levi Avavin says that this halach of Ein Adam Marish Knas Labonov is said regarding a different din altogether. The halach is if somebody approaches somebody and says that, you know, testimony on my behalf, and then he swears falsely, and then he dies. So the chiyuv, the special chiyuv, and that obligation doesn't go down to the son. But if the father or the mother in this case were owed money, that would go on to the children. The Ramban gives a different teretz. He says the way to understand the Gemara, says the Ramban, is that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. If do we say that the money doesn't belong to the father because he doesn't get that money anymore because she's a begeris, and since she's a begeris, the father's not entitled, but the son will also not be entitled. And the reason the son is not entitled is because Eina Moirish Knas Labonov. Or is the money belong to the father? And since the money belongs to the father, then he will continue to be entitled to that money. The result gives a different question. And he says that our question is referring that there's an entire between the father and the daughter. And the father says, the knas belongs to me. And the daughter and the son says, the knas belongs to me. That is a din. That's the din Torah. And that certainly applies even after he's not alive. The Rebbe Chanan has a different explanation. Rebbe Chanan says that there's a difference in halacha between the chiv of knas that would be paid to a son and a chiv of knas that would be paid to other yorshim. Based on a Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kufnun Tes Amar Aleph, he says, when we look at a son being the yorsh of a parent, it's not the same way as we looked at other yorshim, as other inheritors who are inheriting from their forefathers. He says, all other people who yorsh from their forefathers, there's a din in the Torah of Yerusha. And the din of the Torah of Yerusha says that you inherit, that you are an inheritor of your forefather. When a son inherits from a parent, the son is considered an extension of the parent. And since the son is considered an extension of the parent, it has nothing to do with Hilchos Yerusha. And if the mother would be entitled to the knas, the son gets that knas as his intention. And that's the question. Ask the Gemara, but we're assuming that the child, that she had a child. But ask the Gemara, Mima Abra, is that possible that a Ketana or a Nara should have a son, that we should now be having a discussion if that son is entitled to the Knas? But ask the Gemara, Vatana Rabbi Bikamed Rav Nachman, Shalosh Nashim Shamshis B'moich. The way Rashi explains the Gemara, three women are allowed to use contraceptives to prevent them from becoming pregnant. And Tosfos makes a very important point in explaining the opinion of Rashi. Tosfos says, from here we see that Rashi's opinion is we know that a man has a mitzvah, a pruravu, a man has a mitzvah of has an avera of a tzarzal of a tal that is not allowed to cause that his seed should go to waste. Those halachas don't apply to a woman. So why should we have, suggests Tosfos, an issue of Sholosh Noshim Meshamshes V'Moich, is if a woman is allowed to use contraceptive. Why not? Says Tosfos, from here we clearly see that Rashi's opinion is that the Isser of Hashchos Zera doesn't only apply to men, it applies to women as well. And therefore the Gemara over here, according to this opinion, is teaching us that under the circumstances which we're about to describe, the halacha is that the latter do it. There's no issur of hashchas zera. Furthermore, of course, the Rishonim point out, for example, as we're going to learn, if a woman is pregnant, and a woman who's pregnant can't get pregnant again, that doesn't mean that a woman who's pregnant is not allowed to have relations with her husband, because we'll say it's hashchas zera because she can't make him pregnant. Of course, if you do it in the normal fashion, the halacha is that that's not considered hashchas zara. So Rashi said that the latter use this contraceptive to prevent them from getting married, from getting pregnant, and there wouldn't be of isra of hashchas zara. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos' approach is that there's no isra of hashchas zara for women. What the Gemara means to say is that the Chazal, this opinion, is recommending to woman to use contraceptive, because if she won't use the contraceptive, there may be serious repercussions. So again, Ve'elahein, who are the women to allow to have Tashmish to use these contraceptives? Ketana, Mubera, Sumanika. And the Gemara explains Ketana. The reason Ketana is allowed to use the contraceptive, Shemitis Abivit Thomas. We're concerned that she may become pregnant and she will not survive. Mubaris, a woman is already pregnant. We're concerned Shemitis Abra Ubra Sandal. We're concerned that the second child that she becomes pregnant with will crush the first child and turn him into what's called a sandal, a deformed fetus. Tosfos asks that the Gemara Masechet Nida says that Ein isha misaberes v'chayzim misaberes, that once a woman is pregnant, she can't become pregnant again. So what's the Gemara's discussion here? Says Tosfos, two terutzim. One terutz is that what the Gemara there means to say is that a woman can't become pregnant a second time and the second child will be viable, but a child can be formed, and that child who will be formed can cause serious damage to the first child. That's Tosfos' terutz. Rabbeinu Tam says that what we're referring here is that the woman is carrying twins. And by having Tashmish the second time, it could cause damage that the two twins should cross each other. Minika, why is a nursing woman allowed to use a contraceptive? Shema Tigmos, but no, it may cause her child to lose her milk. And continues the Braisa. Veza Ketana, who is the Ketana that we allow to use these contraceptives? Mibasach l'shanav yom echad, achtei mesu shanav yom echad. From 11 to 12. Pox mikan, a girl that's under 11. V'yes alkein, a girl that's over 12. B'shameshes v'ketakai v'aleches, she could have normal relations, divir ameya. V'chom ma'amir achazu v'achazu, all women, b'shameshes v'ketakai v'aleches, are allowed to have relations, u'manashamayim yirachmu. And we don't have to be concerned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that everything will be fine. B'shem Shenema Shomer P'soim Hashem. So as I saw, what's pshat? How can we rely on Shomer P'soim Hashem? So the Shas Tshuva's Teres Chesed explains, since it's not something that's a real concern, as his words are, it's a Chashash Rochek. For Chashash Rochek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have to be concerned. Another pshat that Rabbi Chanan suggests, that certainly anything a person could do to avoid being in sakana, a person has an obligated to do. But, says Rabbi Chanan, at the same time, a person is obligated to live a normal life. And part of living a normal life is that she will, has a husband and wife, have relations. And since a husband and wife have normal relations, they should do what they're supposed to do, and shomer psoim Hashem. So we see from here, a ketana cannot have children and survive. And so how could this woman that became a begeris after she passed away possibly have left over a son? V'chi tema, says the Gemara, maybe we'll explain, that the Gemara is referring to a situation, the Abra Kishinara, she became pregnant when she was a Nara, Velida Kishinara, and she had the baby while she was still a Nara. Ask the Gemara, is that possible? If she only became pregnant when she was 12, and she died before she was a Begeres, that means she had the conception and the birth within 6 months. Ask the Gemara, B'shita Yarcha Mikol Yolda, is it possible for a woman to have a baby within 6 months? V'ame Shmuel, Ein Bein Naras L'Bagris El Shish Chadoshim. There's only a period of 6 months. So how could it possibly, again, we have a case where she died before she was a Begeris and left over a child. Ask the V'chi Teima, and if we'll say, when we speak about the 6 months between Naris and Bagris, what it means to say is Batsahu Deleka. There's not less than 6 months between when she becomes a Nara to when she becomes a Begeris. Batsahu Deleka, Tvei Ika, but there could be more than 6 months. Says the Gemara, Ha Ella Kama. Ella means that there are 6 months. So the question is, if it's only 6 months, how did we have this case? Says the Gemara. Because of this, the Gemara rephrases the question that we're about to have. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, says that even a child that's born and doesn't survive, a non-viable infant, the halacha is, he could yarshin. So ask the Tzais, why does the Gemara say that the case that we began the shiur with, that Rav spoke about a nara giving birth, we said is physically impossible because if she only became pregnant when she was a nara, she couldn't have possibly had the baby while she was a nara. But asks the Tzais, maybe she did get pregnant and the child that she had was a non-viable child. And the halacha is that a non-viable child, the Rambam says, could still yashin. So Rav Naftali Trop quotes the opinion that we quoted from Rabbi Chanan before. He says that only a viable child, we said that the din of a child as in the Yerusha of a parent is different than all other Hilchas Yerusha. So says Rabbi Naftali, that part of Rabbi Chanan will apply here as well. What do I mean to say? That yes, if somebody is yarshining, if somebody is inheriting, so says the Rambam, even if they're non-viable, they still have the ability to be a yoyrish. But said Rabbi Chanan that a son is not a yoyrish. A son, we learned, is a continuation of the parent. Since the son is considered a continuation, the continuation of the parent, that's only when he is viable. That's only when he's alive. But if he's not alive, he can't be considered the continuation of the parent. So even if we were able, as we just discussed, to come up with a situation that she had a son, but he didn't survive, he wouldn't be able to yarshin. Because of this, the Gemara has a whole new pshat in the question that Rava began. The Mesh Chachma, based on what we just learned in the Gemara that says that Ein Bein Naris LeBagris, the time between Naris and Bagris, is El Shisha Chadoshim Bavad, he says, now we can understand the conversation that took place between Eliezer and Lavan and Mesul when he wanted to take Rivka home as a wife for Yitzchak. We know that Lavan and Mesul told Eliezer, Teshev Anari Tonu Yomim Oser. that she should stay with us 10 days, 10 months, 12 months. And Eliezer answers them, Al ta'achru oisi. So the question is, why was Eliezer, explains the Meshech Chochma, so anxious to get Rivka to Yitzchak? So he says that Yitzchak obtained the status of being a Kohen Gadol. After Yitzchak was put on the Mizbeach, he came to the level of the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol. That's why we find in the Torah that Yitzchak was not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz because he was a Kohen. So said Eliezer to Lavan and Besuel, I can't wait with Rivka being here, because at this point the girl is a Nara. Rivka is a Nara. And even if Rivka just became a Nara today, we just learned in the Gemara there's 6 months between Naras and Bagris. If you're going to keep Rivka here for 10 months, she will become a Begaris. And a Kohen Gadol is not supposed to marry a Begaris, says the Gemara Masechta Yevamah Mistaf Nun Tesom and Aleph. That's why he says we have to get home quickly while she's still a Nara. So our Gemara said that we had this Machlokes Ramei and Chachamim, if these women are allowed to use contraceptives. The Chachamim said that Mishameshes Kedarkoi Umneshemayim Yirachmo. So the Ritva asks, how can the Chachamim say Shomer Psoim Hashem? So when we have a way, as we spoke about earlier, of avoiding the sakana, letting using the contraceptive. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer and the Shas Tshuvas Achiezer Chelik Aleph Simin Chaf Gimel and the Shas Tshuvas Binyan Tzion and Chelik Aleph Simin Kuf Lamed Zayin say a very interesting explanation in the Heter Bikuach Nefesh. He says the Heter Bikuach Nefesh means when the sakana is already here. For example, somebody fell under a house full of rubble. So we know the halach is that we have to do whatever we have to do to say, to pass, even if there's a slight chance that we could save him, to save that person, we have to do. But there, we're referring to a situation where the issue is already there, where she's already under the, where he's under the rubble. Here, we're talking about a case where the sakana doesn't exist yet. In a case where the sakana doesn't exist yet, there we don't have the halacha that you could do anything for bikuach nefesh. The Magen Avraham in Siman Tuf Kuf Ayin Aleph says that not only in a regular year, which is a 12-month year, is the difference in time between Naras and Bagris 6 months, but even in a leap year, which has 30 months, it's 6 months. And the Raya that could be brought is from our Gemara, because our Gemara says that Ein Bei Naras LeBagris, there is no difference between Naras and Bagris, only 6 months. And that's why, as the Gemara just explained, there's no way she could have had a baby in those 6 months. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if in a leap year, there's 7 months, in 7 months, a child could be born. Since in that 7 months it could be born, the Gemara could have come up with that case. The fact that the Gemara did not come up with that case is clearly a raya that the halacha is that the rule of 6 months even applies in a leap year. So we go back to the question that Rava began the shiur with today. What did Rava mean when he asked the question of Yesh Baga Bekever? Says my Hachim Ubayla, what Rava meant to say like this, Yesh Baga Bekever, does she become a begeris to the extent upaka av that the father's rights are no longer there, as we've been discussing? Under many circumstances, the father is the one that's entitled to collect the knas. Here, will he be entitled to collect the knas, or not? If she became a begeris, so we know that the father loses his rights once she becomes a begeris. Idilma ain't baga bekaver. She doesn't become a begeris. V'loipaka Ho'av, and the father's rights remain. Says the Gemara, Ma'abar Rashi Boilei Hachi. Ma'abar Rashi asked a different question. Misa Oysa Bagris. Does that mean that the girl was violated as a Nara, and she never made it to 12 and a half? But do we say that the actual death is considered like she became a Begeris, meaning that her father will lose any rights? The father's rights don't expire just because the daughter died. And all of this, the Gemara says, is left with a teiku. If somebody had relations with a Nara, violated a Nara, the Nisarsa, and before the obligation to pay the Knas, she became a Mereses. And now the question is me, Mahu, who is entitled to the Knas? Do we say, since at the time of the rape, she was in the domain of the father, so then the father should get it? Or do we say that since she now is Mereses, she leaves the domain of the father? Since she leaves the domain of the father, so now she will be entitled to the Knas. Amalei, so says the Gemara. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Rashi's learned the Gemara, that the Gemara's question is, under this circumstance that we just described, does the Knas belong to her father or to her? Tysus explains that, do we say that since she left the father's rishus, the Knas goes to herself? Or do we say that the Knas will go to the father? Says Tysus that this is only if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva and the Mishnah. In our previous year, we had a machlokes what Rabbi Kiva held. Did Rabbi Kiva hold the Nara Shinis Arsav and Nisgarsha? One opinion had Rabbi Kiva saying that the Knas goes to her, and the other opinion had Rabbi Kiva saying that the Knas goes to the father. So says Tysus that according to the opinion that the Knas goes to the father in Naras and his Arsav and his Garsha, certainly in this case, where the Oinus happened before she was an Arusa, the Knas will go to her father. The question here is, according to Rabbi Kiva, the Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah said, Naras and his Arsav and his Garsha. The Knas doesn't go to the father, it goes to her. So here the question the Gemara asks is that if the girl was violated before she became an Arusa, and now she became an Arusa, is this another example, asked the Gemara, where the Knas will go to her? Or here, since it happened before she was an Arusa, the Knas will go to her father? Amalei, so Abai says to Rava, Miksiv, that the Pasuk says, V'nosan la'avia nara ashloi Arusa, does the Torah specify that this story happened with a girl that wasn't Mereses, as we discussed in the previous year? Here, the Torah says, V'nosan ish ha-shoichav ima la'avia nara chamishin kesef, that it always goes to the Navi Anara. So ask the Gemara, or Tameich, asks Rav Tabaya, and what would be the halacha, had the Tanya ba'al avanissus? Let's say, after she was violated, she didn't have just Erison, but she came to the full marriage. She had Nisuin. Who would get the Knas? Le'atzma, she would get the Knas. And the Gemara is assuming that's for sure halacha. And then the question would be, Miksiv v'asan la'nevi'a nara shaloi nesua. So the fact that the Torah doesn't say it, suggests the Gemara, is not yet a raya that's the halacha, says the Gemara. We can't compare the question. Hasam, hoil bath gris matzim rishasav. When a girl becomes a begeris, she's no longer in the father's domain. Nesun matzim rishasav. Ma bagris, bala bogra. If the act of oinus happened when she was a nara, but the payment would only come after she became a begeris, the knas would go la'atzma. Af nesuin, so too is the aloch by nesuin, the aloch would be bala avanissus, the knas goes to her. But erisin doesn't have the same effect, says the Gemara, as nesuin. El erisin, mika mafkim rishus da avl gamri, does erisin completely remove her from her father's rishus? That isn't true, because hatnan, the Mishnah teaches us, nara hamarasa, as long as the girl is only mureses, or viu balam afir and lada nareah, the nedarim that she makes are annulled jointly by the father and the husband. So since we see that erisin doesn't completely remove her from the rishus ha'av, then the halacha ought to be that the knas Certainly, since the knas came before the act came before the erusin, the halacha should be that the knas should be paid to the father. And the Gemara actually doesn't answer this question. It says the Gemara till now has been focusing on the knas, but there are other payments that have to be paid when a girl is a oinus mafuta. As we discussed, there's nezek, there's tsar, and boishes. Pagam means, nezek is the pagam, how much the girl went down in value from before this act to after this act. Says the Mishnah, mafata, if somebody is mafata narab sula, that's not mureses, he has to pay noisin, he has to pay to the father shlosh dvorim. Ha'oinus, and somebody's ma'anis, has to pay arba, has to pay four payments. And the Mishnah explains itself. Hamafata noisin boishes, he embarrassed her. Begam, as we just said, she went down in value. We evaluate how much she would be worth sold as a slave, and that's the amount that he's entitled to. And the knas that we keep on referring to are the chamishim kesef. Moisev, Allah of oinus, when we speak about oinus, there's one more payment, and that is the payment tsar, the pain that he gave her. So the Rishita asks, why did Mishnah have to give us a count? Hamafata noisin shloisha v'oinus arba. What's the number here to teach us? Says the Shita, that we know that when we learn Baba Kama, when somebody does damage, he has to pay nezek tsar, ripu shevis aboishis. By indicating three or four, you have to tell us, the Mishnah is teaching us that you don't have to pay shevis and ripu. Those payments don't apply by oinus and mafata. They're included in the payment of the knas. Furthermore, points out the Shita, why did the Mishnah speak about the boishes of begam before it speaks about the knas? The knas is a number which is clearly said in the Torah, so shouldn't the knas be mentioned first? So one teretz the Shita suggests is a teretz that we often see in Shas, where something which is not explicit in the Torah, which is only learned through a drasha, is something that the Tana prefers to mention. So the knas is mentioned explicitly. The other payments are not mentioned explicitly, so the Tana focuses on them first. Mefata pays boishes begam, another teretz the Shita gives, is only in a case that we're going to be discussing in a moment. Oinus must marry the woman, even if he doesn't want to. A mefata, it's not that clear. And the payment of boishes begam is only obligated if he doesn't want to pay her. And that's why boishes begam are paid. On the contrary, boishes begam are always paid. Knas depends if they actually get married or not. And therefore, the knas, since it's not always paid, and this is always paid, that's why we speak about the obligation, which is always paid, which is first the boishes begam. Continues the Mishnah, Mabein Oinus L'mafata. What is their difference? Oinus noisens a tsar. The oinus has to pay the tsar that he caused in doing this damage. Mafata and a noisens a tsar. So the question, of course, is, we just learned that halacha explicitly in the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah have to repeat it? So the Tzaras Yisrael explains that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even if there was a case where the mafata did hurt her, so we'd say if the mafata actually hurt her, maybe tsar should be paid. The halacha is that he never has to pay tsar, since this woman was a willing participant in this act, so there's never a chiyuv of paying the tsar. Ha'oinus, furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah, ha'oinus noisim yad, the chamishim shkolim that we keep on speaking about that have to be paid for knas, the oinus, the ma'anis always has to pay it immediately. As the Torah says, v'nosan isha shorchiv imay l'avi anara chamishim kesef, ha'mefata only pays that chamishim kesef l'kshiyotzi. When he doesn't want to marry her, then he has to pay the knas. Ha'oinus shoysa betzisoi, as we just said, ha'oinus has to marry her under all circumstances. Ha'mefata, and the fata doesn't want to marry her, and rotzo l'hoytzi, Moitzi. And so number one, the oinus must marry her, and he must remain with her forever. The mefata doesn't have to may marry her or not marry her, and even if he marries her, he's allowed to divorce her. Ketzad, shoyse bat tzitzoi, What does it mean that the ma'anis shoyse betzitzoy, he drinks from his flower pot? Teaches us, afili chigeres, even if the woman is lame, afili suma, if the woman is blind, afili mukushchin, or even if she has any other problem, the halacha is, under all circumstances, he has to marry her. And I saw that the Rishayim want to know what is the means when it says that shoyse batzitzoy. So they explain that a tzitzoy is a flower pot. Sometimes you could have a flower pot that is so useless that you can't plant anything in it. Still, the halacha is that he has to marry her, even if she is something that's useless. Not useless, but it's very difficult to live with. Mefatim roitzer lahoitzi moitzi, as we explained, two halachas. Number one, if he chooses not to marry her, he may do so. And even if he did marry her, he could divorce her later on in their life. The Melech HaShleimah says, what does it mean, afili chigeres, afili suma, afili mikushkin? It doesn't mean that she has these three different examples. What it means to say is that even if you have a woman who has all of these situations, she's both a chigeres and a suma and a mukushkin, by oinus he has to marry her. Nimtza badava ever. The halacha is that if the woman who he was ma'anis, he married her, because as we just learned, he has to marry her, he's not given a choice. And now she had an adulterous relationship. Or let's say she's a woman that he can't marry. She's an erevah to him. Then the halacha is that he doesn't marry her. It's only a woman, isha ruy l'kaima, a woman that he can be married to. But if it's a woman that he can't be married to, this halacha doesn't apply. So the Gemara spoke about the tsar that's paid by an oinus. So ask the Gemara, tsar demai, exactly what is meant when we speak about the tsar? Amavu d'shmul, tsar shechafta gabakarka. Before he violated her, he threw her on the floor. And for that, he has to pay for that tsar. Maskula Rav Zera. So Rav Zera asks, El Ma'ata. So what will be the halacha as he violated her? Chafta gabishroim. He threw her on blankets. Hachanami the potter. Are we going to say that there is no payment of tsar? And says the Marvichitim, indeed, maybe. Maybe if there was no tsar, there is no payment of tsar. But ask the Gemara, for Tanya, the Braisa that discusses an oinus paying tsar, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda oim Mishim Rav Shimon, that there's no reason to have to pay the tsar, because ultimately, she, even though now she's a psula, she'll ultimately be a psula. So what do we see? There is Shimon, when he describes the tsar, speaks about a tsar, which is soifel et star tachas bala. So we see it's clearly nothing to do how she was forced down, because of course that isn't what is going to happen when a woman marries her husband and they have relations in a normal fashion. The beginning of the bia comes with tsar, and for that tsar, the halacha is that you have to pay. El Amar Rava Rav Nachman, Tzasha Pisa Kuglai, Mekeno Omer, and the Torah speaks about the Navi is giving Musa to Klai Yisrael, and the Navi Yecheskel says to them, V'tefaski es reglaich l'chol oiver. He says that they acted in a very immoral fashion, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah. They went to different husbands. Instead of worshipping Hashem, they worshipped the Avodah Zarah. And it's compared to Pisa Kuglaiim. So we see that the pain that's paid for is the pisuk reglayim. And as I saw, the Ritva explains, it's not the act of bia that they're paying for. What they're paying for is that what they're being paid for is that that she was violated. She didn't do it willingly. It was done to her forcibly. Yehachi. Ask the Gemara if the payment is for the Pisuk Reglayim and that the bia was not done as a husband and wife, so that in Mefutanami, the bia wasn't done as husband and wife. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Marshal the Futal Madav Daima. How do we understand the case of a Mufuta? Ladim Shamil Khaver Krash Raim Vali Vipater. You're allowed to turn I'll give you permission to rip my clothing. Here too, she wanted to do it, and since she wanted to do it, that's not considered some atzar. Says the Gemara, yes, a person has a right to give up on something that he owns. But I can't give up something that I don't own. And this tsar, this is something that belongs to the father. And since it belongs to the father, how could she be Michael that was saying that Mefuta means that she was Michael? The wise women say Mefuta ain't like tsar. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that not only when a couple is married is the initial act of Bia not considered an act of Bia, but even in a situation where it's a Mefuta, since it's being done willingly, there's no Tsar. Ask them whether Chazina de Islay. But we do see that you can't compare a woman that had relations not in marriage to the woman that had relations through Pitui, to a woman that had marriage. They're still not the same. Omar by Omerly, Aim, my mother explained to me, Kamay Chamima Resh Dekarka. Just like hot water that's put on a head doesn't really cause pain. The pain of a mefuta, even though it's not in the context of a marriage, is not significant pain. Rav Amar, Amali Basra of Chizda, how do we look at this pain? Kirivda de Kislisa. They used to often as a refuah bloodlet, and they made a inject and puncture. It was very painless. When somebody eats a hard piece of bread, a piece of bread with a lot of crust, it also is not really painful. We learned in the Mishnah, the oinus has to pay the knas right away. Ask the melech yotze, ishtahi. What does it mean that when they get divorced? She's his wife. Amar Baya, what it means, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, if he refuses to pay, that if he refuses to marry her, or the father refuses to let her marry her, as the Pasuk says, kasav yishka k'maya psuas. And says the Brisa, Tanya Nami Hochi, apish amra mafata noisin, if he refuses to marry her, he has to pay the knas, but boishes begam noisim yad. The boishes begam, he always has to pay immediately. Vecher oynus continues the brisa. Vecher oynus vecher mafata. Ben he ben of both she or her father, yichayim la'akif, can refuse to get married to this man. And the Gemara explains bishlama mafuta that a mafuta could refuse to marry because ksiv imon yamayin avia enli ela avia. So I only know that the father has a right to deny her to marry him. He adds from benayin. How do we know the girl also has that right? That even the girl could refuse. Ella oynus bishlema ihi, she could refuse. Ksiv v'loy sia lisha. Sia means that midata, that she has to agree to marry him. But avia minolon. Ask the Gemara. How do we know that the father in that case has a right to deny her? So I saw that the Rishonim ask that we are talking here about a nara. And we've learned many times that the halacha is that a father can marry off the nara. So if the father's the one that has a right to marry off, he certainly should have the right to say, I do or I don't want to marry her to this man. So some Rishonim want to suggest that once the girl was violated, the halacha is that the father's rights to her are no longer the same. And once she became violated, the halacha is maybe the halacha is that the father should not have the right. That's why the Brice is asking Avia Manolon, to which Abaye answers, Shloi Chayta Niska. What would be the halacha that the father, if she wouldn't have done this thing, then the father could marry her? So here, if she did it, the father should not lose his right because of that. Rav Amar Kavachomer. that certainly the father has a right. Uma mafata. In the case of mafata, shloi avad el al das vivavad. In the case of mafata, the one who was kept out of the picture was the father. The girl did this willingly. The halacha is that by mafata we learned the braisa taught us, because the pasuk teaches us, bein hi bein avi yechal ma'akev. She or a father could deny it. Oinus, shav al das avia. In the case where oinus, then not only was she violated, but her father had absolutely valdas atzma. It was done against everybody's will, lekoshke. So we have two different reasons that the Bryce, that the Gemara gave, why in oinus the father has a right to make the decision if she should or shouldn't marry him. And now the Gemara is going to ask, why did Rava not explain like Abaya, and why did Abaya not explain like Rava? Says the Gemara, Rava loyamak Abaya, kim to kamshalm knas, since he's getting knas, laf chayta nisker. And that's why, since he's getting the knas, the father maybe should lose his right to make the decision. Abaya loyamak Rava, the fact that the iu motzim akiv, by him a fata, that the husband, that the one that did it, could say, I don't want to marry her. So that's why the father was also given that right, avia nami motzim. Ma'akev. Oinus, but in case of Oinus, as we learned in the Mishnah, Diu loy matzah ma'akev. But Oinus, he has to marry her even if he doesn't want to marry her. Oinus, the Iu loy matzah ma'akev, the halacha is that he can't say no, and that's why the Aviyah Nami loy matzah ma'akev, the Havamina was that the fathers can't say no either. Tanya idach, but not as a braisa. Abish Oinus noisen. The Oinus gives his the knas to the father miyad. Kshiyotzi, when he divorces her, ain't a love klum. He doesn't have to pay another ksuba. Ask the Gemara, kshiyotzi, when he divorces her, how could that ever happen? Mimatzim apikla, could he ever divorce her? Doesn't the pasuk say, la yuchel shalcha kayamav, they have to remain married forever? Ema kishteitzi ahi, if she decides that she wants to get divorced, and he gives her divorce, normally, as we know, a husband has to give a wife a ksuba when they get divorced. Here, ein lo yav klum. Mace, if the husband that was ma'anis her and married her, now he died, yoytze kesef knas b'ksubasa. As we know, when a husband dies, a wife is entitled to ksuba. Here, this wife won't be entitled to ksuba. She already got a ksuba payment in the payment of the knas. Yoytze ben Yehuda Imer, that she will get the ksuba, yes, the ksuba, but she gets the ksuba of amona, because we know, as we started the mesechta, the ksuba of a basula is masayim, the ksuba of a bu'ula is amona, and she's a bu'ula. So ask the Gemara, but my kamifki, what is the basis of this machlaikis? Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, my time to kin Rabbanan ksuba, why did Chazal say that all women should get a ksuba? Kadesh lo take kalba en avalo tzia. We want it to serve as a deterrent from them being able to get divorced. Here, v'halei matzah mapiklo, he can't divorce her anyway, because, as we said, the Torah says v'loi si elisha. So therefore, the reason that we should normally give a ksuba doesn't apply here. And that's what Rabbanan say, she's not entitled to ksuba. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Sava, ha nami mitzar lo, even in this case, a husband that could make a wife's life miserable, until she'll say, I don't want to be married to you. And then, if we say she doesn't get a ksuba, he'll have no problem doing it. But by saying that she's going to get a, by saying that she's entitled to ksuba, even this woman who he has to stay married to, unless she's willing to leave, he'll be a way to make them remain married.